Hi, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kedushin Daf Chafei. We left off Chav Dalid Amid Aleph, four lines into the medium-sized lines toward the Manam of the Yama. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, also the Lunishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'ashalom. We thank him very much for his continued sponsorship of the shiur. Today, essentially, we are going to have three topics. The first topic is what happens. So again, we're holding in the sugya of an eved going free, b'shein v'ayin, if the master either knocks out his tooth or knocks out his eye, or if he damages severely one of the other chavdalet rashi evarim, is what we saw yesterday. So what we're going to start with is the discussion of what happens if the master injures the eved, but it's unintentional. Does the eved nonetheless go free? So that's the first discussion on the daf. The next discussion is going to be the Chav Dalet Rashi Evarim. Is there anything else that if they're injured, the Eved goes free? For example, what happens if the master is Misares the Eved by injuring the Eved in his Beitzim, in his testicles? Or what happens, for example, if he injures him in his tongue? Is the tongue considered one of the Chav Dalet Rashi Evarim? So that's what we're going to talk about for most of Chav Hei Amid Aleph. And then Chav Hei Amid Beis is going to go back to a more general discussion of kinyanim. Again, with the reason that we're discussing this whole concept of Eved Ivri is because we're talking about the kinyanim through which the Eved Ivri can be acquired, through which the Eved Ivri goes free. Mishnah Chav Hei Amid Beis is going to talk about a behema and how a behema can be acquired. What kinyanim work for a behema? It's different for a behema daka and a behema gasa, for a large animal and a small animal. And we're going to conclude, hopefully we'll get all the way to the top of Chav Vav Amid Aleph, where we're going to talk about Tosfos and the jumping elephant. So you'll see what we're talking about. You see what the reference that I meant, that I just made, when we get to there, hopefully at the very end of the shir. So again, we left off. Tana Rabbanan were four lines into the wide lines. Chav Dalid Amid Beis. Tana Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, Arisha Yerabba Rofe, if the master was a doctor, V'yamar lo licho lo eino, and the master tried to apply some medicine to the Eved's eye, V'sima, and then he wound up blinding the Eved, Lachter lo shino, let's say the master was a dentist. And he was trying to perform some dental work. He was trying to scrape his teeth, ve'pilo, and he causes the tooth to come out. Says the Gemara, sichik v'adon v'yotza l'cheres. So the Eved can laugh at the master, and he goes free. In other words, even though the master was intending to assist the Eved, he was not intending to harm the Eved. He was trying to do good. Nevertheless, because the end result is that the eye is knocked out or the tooth is knocked out, the Eved is going to go free. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, v'shichasa ache yiskavein l'shichasa. No, Rabban Shimon Gamliel says no. The whole reason that the Eved goes free, v'shein v'ayin, is because the master is intentionally harming the Eved. Where, however, the master is not intentionally harming the Eved is not going to go free. Now, how about the Rabbanan? Says the Gemara of Rabbanan, Hai v'shichasa mai avdilei. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel teaches up v'shichasa to teach me that you need malicious intent. The Rabbanan say you don't need malicious intent. Even if you don't intend to harm the Eved, still the Eved is going to go free. If by your action, through your action, however they manifest, you knock out the Eved's eye or the Eved's tooth. So what do they do with this pasuk of v'shichasa? What do they do with that word? Don't they darshan that you need malicious intent? Says the Gemara, "Nami b'ayle l'chadetanya." They use that word to teach me the following. Rabbi Lezer Omer, "Hareisha hoshet yado l'mei shifchaso v'sima uber shebemeya." Let's say the master is an obstetrician and is trying to help the shifcha deliver a baby, and he therefore sticks his hands up into the womb area of the shifcha. Obviously, this is not how a baby is delivered, but let's play along with the Gemara. So he sticks his hands up into the womb, and he's like feeling around to try to grab the baby and pull the baby out, and inadvertently he pokes the baby in the eye, and he blinds the baby. So putter. In that case, the master is going to be putter. My taima, diyamar kra v'shichasa achi yakavim l'shichasa, until you intend to damage. In other words, the Rabbanan who say that where the master intends to apply medicine to the Eved's eye and he blinds the Eved goes free, even they will admit that if the master is attempting to do something totally unrelated to an eye and unadvertently, unintentionally, the eye is damaged, the Eved is not going to go free. The Shifcha here is not going to go free on account of that action. So Vidach, and how about Rabbi Eliezer? So Vishichasa Nafka. So they learn from the fact that it says Vishichasa, because it says Vishichasa. It could have said rather Vishiches. So since it says Vishichasa, I learn both of these cases. Vidach Shicha Shichasa Lo Darish. And the Rabbanan are not Doresh Shiches Shichasa. So in other words, the Rabbanan, therefore, are going to say that if you're doing anything in and around the area of the Eved's eye, or in and around the area of the Eved's tooth, and you wind up causing damage to the eye or the tooth, even if the damage is inadvertent, the Eved is still going to go free. When does the Eved not go free? When the eye is damaged, but in a way or through a process that has nothing to do with the eye. So for example, if you're trying to deliver a baby and you wind up blinding the baby's eye, that is totally inadvertent. Not only is it inadvertent, but it also had nothing to do. You weren't even intending to operate around the area of the Eved's tooth or the Eved's eye, and therefore the Eved is not going to go free in that type of scenario. If you look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos in the middle of the page, Dibur HaMaskel Miboyle, says, L'miboyle l'chadetanya reisha hoshet. So says the Gemara, Hashta Mashma, the Kuli Alma Kishalonis Kavin La'ayin Potter. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Lazar and according to the Rabbanan, if the eye is damaged and you don't intend to be near the eye at all, you are not going to go free, right? Because Rabbi Lazar is the one who says that the Eved doesn't go free even if the master is attempting to apply medicine to the Eved's eye. Because Rabbi Lazar is the one who says that it has to be intentional. If it's inadvertent, the Eved doesn't go free. The Rabbanan said, no, in that case, the Eved goes free. But if you're doing something having nothing to do with the eye and you wind up unintentionally damaging the eye, then the Eved isn't going to go free. So again, Tosfos says, Hashta mashma dekuliyama dekshalon eskamin la'ayin potter. It's mashma that where you don't intend to damage the eye, you're going to be potter. V'teima frek the Gemara, the beperikates at a regel. Let's say you're sitting down and you forget that you have a heavy stone resting in your lap. And you don't realize that it's there. So you get up from your seated position, you stand up, and then you know the stone was in your lap. So you stand up, whoops, it falls down. So there happens to be an Eved lying on the floor right in front of you, and it damages the Eved in the eye. Plukta the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel of Rabbanan. Over there we say that it's machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan. Now why would it be a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan whether the Eved goes free? I thought we just learned in our Gemara that where the eye is damaged, but you don't intend to damage the eye, you don't intend to be near the eye at all, the Eved doesn't go free. Says the Gemara, V'yesh lomar deshani halcha dika tartulu tevusa. No. Over here, it's not only that the damage to the eye is unintentional, the master was affirmatively trying to help the Eved. Deshani halcha dika tartulu tevusa, shu miskavin letova, v'lo niskavin la'ayin klal. In our case, where the master was trying to deliver the baby of the Shifcha, A, he was trying to help the Shifcha, B, he wasn't intending to be near the eye at all. Avalahi da hasam avidumya likol lo'ena v'sima, the ika chadalutivusa, sheneskavin la'refuos, v'chadalariusa, sheneskavin la'ayin. However, what we saw was that there is a machlokas in the case where the master is attempting to apply medicine to the Eved's eye, because yes, he's trying to help, but he's also intending to be near his eye. In the other case that we just cited from Baba Kama, the master is not intending to be near the eye, but he's also not intending to help. So it comes out, says Tosfos, according to the Chachamim, the only way that he's going to be putter is A, where he doesn't intend to be near the eye, and B, he's intending to help. If he's in a neutral state and the Eved is harmed, then the Eved is going to go free, says Tosfos, based on the Gemara in Meseches Baba Kama. Okay, says the Gemara, Vayter, now three lines up from the bottom. Amar of Shesa, Sarei Shahaisa Eino Smuya V'chitata. If the eye was already blinded, and then you knock it out of its socket, Eved Yotze Ben Lecheres, the Eved is going to go free. My time, Mechuzar Eivor, because now you damaged the Eved. You made him into a Mechuzar Eivor, one who's missing a limb. The Tana Tuna, we have a Tana who supports this. Tamas v'zachros b'behemos, vein tamas v'zachros b'yofos. There's a concept of tamas and zachros by behema that's going to be used as a karban. The behema has to be a tamim. It has to be an animal that is not a balmum. It has to be an uninjured animal. However, there is no concept of tamas and zachros b'yofos. The bird doesn't have to be male. The bird doesn't have to be a tamim. The bird can even have a mum. Yachol yavshagapa. I might think that if the wing of the bird is dried up, nikta ragla. If the foot was cut off, nichtataina, if the eye was knocked out of the socket, I might think that the bird is still fit to be brought as a karban. Tamalomar mina o filokolof. It says, no, only certain birds are eligible to be brought as a karban, not all birds. Meaning, while there is no requirement for a bird to be a tamim, the bird is allowed to have a mum. If the mum is so significant that he's missing a limb, then the bird cannot be brought as a karban. Why are we bringing this as a raya? Because one of the things that we said was chat nichtataina. If the eye was knocked out of its socket, then it's considered to be a mechusar aver. Just like by a bird korban, it's considered to be a mechusar aver, so too by an eved. If the eye is knocked out of the socket, it's considered to be a mechusar aver, and therefore that's the type of injury for which the eved is going to go free. Why does the eved go free if the wing is dried up? If the wing is withered, it's not missing the wing, it's still attached to his body. Says Rashi that because the entire koach of a bird is its ability to fly, if you've taken away that koach of the bird, it's as good as if the limb were missing. Okay, says the Gemara in Avaita. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav. Hay solo yaseira v'chitcha. If, let's say, the Eved had six fingers, and you chop off the sixth finger, you chop off the extra digit, then Eved Yotzevem L'cheiras, and the Eved is going to go free, because he's a Mechusar Aver now. And we had said that if you damage one of the Chavdalad Rashi Avarim, he's going to go free. So Maravuna Vusha Nisperas Al Gavaya, that's only if the extra digit is actually in line with the other fingers, so if it actually looks like a finger, and you cut it off, then the Eved is going to go free. If it's some sort of growth that is simply on the Eved's hand, and you chop it off, then the Eved isn't necessarily going to go free for that. All right, says the Gemara in Avaiter. It's two dots, top of Chafayim et Aleph. Sabe dinizunya, the elders of Nizunya, lo asi lepirke de Rav Chista. They didn't come to the shear of Rav Chista. So Rav Chista said to Rav Amnuna, go and sequester them. In other words, go and put them into Cherem. Why was Rav Chista interested in putting these people into Cherem? It seems like he was offended that not too many people came to his shear. So all of a sudden he was a Bal Gaiva. He was upset. He thought that every shear that he gives, he should have 100 people. So the Ben Yoyada explains, no, he wasn't afraid for his own kavod. Rather, he was afraid that everybody would learn from the behavior of these Zakenim. In other words, the Zakenim already knew how to learn. So it wasn't that important for them to come to the shear. But Rav Chista was afraid that if everybody saw that the Zakenim didn't come to the shear, they also wouldn't come to the shear. So he wasn't doing this for his own kavod, rather he was doing this for the kavod of the Torah. So Rav Chista was upset. So he told to Rav Amnuna, go put them in Cherem. So Rav Amnuna went to these elders to confront them, and he said, my time in Loasa Rabban Lapirka, why didn't you come to the shear? So why are we going to go to the guy shear? We ask Rav Chista questions, he doesn't even answer us. Did you ever ask me a question, and did I never answer you? So the whole Shakla Vitari in the Gemara here is like a little bit of a non sequitur. They're upset at Rav Chista because Rav Chista didn't answer their questions. So now Rav Amnuna, the Talmud, is saying, oh, did you ever ask me a question, and did I ever fail to answer you? So the Mefarshim explain that what's going on here is that Rav Amnuna was making a point. In other words, I'm the Talmud. You've never even asked me a question that I was unable to answer. Kal v'chomer, if you would ask my Rebbe a question, he would certainly be able to answer all of your questions. So they asked, so they said, okay, you're challenging us? So they asked him the following question. Evich is sirso rabba bebeitzim mahu. What happens? We've been saying that the Eved goes free if the master injures one of the Chavdalad Rashi Evarim, one of his extremities. Let's say one of the extremities was the Aver Zachrus, was the male organ. Let's say he doesn't damage the male organ, but he's misares him, he castrates him, basically, and damages his testicles. So what's the question? So what's the halacha here? Kamum shebegalui domi or lo? Is it like a mum shebegalui or not? So Rashi explains, on the one hand, the testicles are obviously in the scrotum, that's revealed. On the other hand, the testicles are inside the scrotum, so you don't see them. So the question is it revealed or not? So that's the tzada safek according to Rashi. So lo havi biyade, so he didn't know the answer. So amr lo, Mashmech, so they said, what's your name? So Amr Le Hamnuna, so he said, my name is Hamnuna. Amr Le, Lav Hamnuna, Ela Karnuna. Your name is not Hamnuna, your name is Karnuna. So this is definitely a pejorative. What exactly the intention of the insult is Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, Karnuna is from the Lashon of Yoshvei Kronos. In other words, you're posturing yourself as a Talmud Chacham, but really you're an Amaretz. Tosfos says it's a little bit more even inventive than that. Nuna is the word for fish, right? Nin is a fish. And so Hamnuna is like the hay and the ches are interchangeable. It's like a hot fish. So a hot fish is a delicacy. What's worse than a hot fish? A cold fish. Like if you have like a leftover piece of fish and it's cold now, then it gets hard and crusty. It's disgusting. So they were insulting him. They're saying, you're not Hamnuna. You're not the delicacy. You're Karnuna. You're this disgusting old leftover piece of fish. Nobody's interested in you. So also Lakame the Rav Chista. So Rav Nuna went to Rav Chista and he told the Rav Chista what happened. And now Rav Chista is upset that Rav Nuna was stumped by this question. Amarle, Mastisa Boy Minach. They were asking you a question from a Mishnah. So the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, Esrem V'arba Rashi Evarim Shabbat Adam Kula Meimetam Memishom Michya, that the 24 Rashi Evarim of a person, the 24 extremities of a person, they do not become Tamei from Tzaras. Why don't they become Tamei from Tzaras? Sarashi explains, because when the Kohen looks at the Nega Tzaras to ascertain whether it's Tzaras or not, whether the person is Tamei or not, he has to be able to see the entire surface area at a single time. So the problem with the extremities is that if you look at your fingertip, it slopes. So because it slopes, you can't get a good visual from the same angle of the entire extremity at a single time. Whereas, let's say, if you're looking at your arm, so if you're looking at your forearm, you could see your forearm like this. If you're looking at your fingertip, then it slopes in either direction. So which of the 24 Rashi Evarim? Ve'elohim Rashi, Ve'elohim Rashi Etzpos, Yadayim, Vraglayim, the fingers, the toes, Rashi Aznayim, the ears, Rashi Chotem, and the nose, Rashi Gavia, and the tip of the male member, Rashi Dodam Shabi'isha, and the tips of the breasts of a woman, and Rav Yudomer Af Shabi'ish, even in a man, they're big enough that they slope, and therefore you can't see the entire surface area at one time. V'tani Allah v'kulam v'eved v'kulam eved Yosef emlecheirus. I mean, learn on this, that these chavdalad rashi evarim, that you're not able to ascertain whether there's saras or not, because you can't get a visual of the entire surface area at the same time. If any of these are injured, the eved is going to go free. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, afasirus, even if you castrate the eved and you damage his testicles, he's going to go free. So the question that they were asking you, Rav Hamnuna, whether the eved goes free if his testicles are castrated, is the shita of Rebbe in this Mishnah. Anyway, we're going to continue. Ben Azai Omer, afalosham. Ben Azai says, even the tongue. The tongue also, because the tip of the tongue, you can't see the entire surface area at the same time. So Omer Mar, so says Mar, in the first wide line, Rebbe Omer Af Hasirus, that Rebbe says that even if he's castrated, the Eved goes free. So Sirus Demai, what are we talking about? What type of castration? Ilem Asirus Degid, Hainugvia. If we're saying that if the Eved is damaged in the Rosh Hagid, in the tip of the male member, then he goes free, well, that we already know, because one of the extremities is the Rosh Hagavia. Elolav Sirus Debeitzim. So aren't we talking about Sirus Debeitzim, and aren't we talking about that he damages in his testicles? So this is a raya, that the testicles are considered to be a place that's golui, and therefore the eved is going to go free. So before we continue with the Gemara, well, let's just pause here and discuss. The Makna asks the question: how exactly is the eved going to go free if the master is misares the eved? Because being misares a person is going to be usher, and if the master is misares the eved, he's going to be chayiv malkus. There's a principle of kimle v'derabamine that we cannot be mechayiv somebody Mammon and Malkus. And so saying the Eved is going to go free is essentially causing the master a loss of money. So isn't this a problem of Kimle B'derabamine? We should only give a Malkus. We shouldn't impose the monetary penalty. So the Machna explains, no, we might have to say that we're not talking about where the master was Masares the Eved with a Maisa, with an affirmative act, rather where he caused the Sirus of the Eved. For example, it was freezing and the master left the Eved outside in the snow, and because the Eved was exposed to snow, he was frostbitten, and therefore he was misuras. But it's not that the master did the sirus himself. So others explain that the Tshuva Sein Yitzchak explains that no, even though ordinarily we say Kimle B'Derabim Minayim in Ein Lokem Meshalem, If the Nizik grabs money, if the Nizik grabs the monetary penalty, we're not going to force him to disgorge it. So, for example, it's true that the master gets Malkus for being Masaris the Eved. But if the Eved gets up and walks away and goes L'Cheiros, we're not going to grab the Eved back. We're not going to force him to go to the master. And that's why there is a scenario where the Eved could go free if the master is Masaris the Eved in the Beitzim. Second wide line, Rebbe Yomer Afasiris. So Rebbe says, yeah, that you go free even for Siris. Now, we had Rebbe saying that you go free even for Siris, and then Benazai saying that you go free even if you damage the tip of the Eved's tongue. So for Rebbe Lashon Lo, does Rebbe say that you only go free for Siris, but he holds that if you damage the tip of the Eved's tongue, he doesn't go free? V'raminu, the Gemara Sakasha, Remi Shoya Mazeh, if a person is getting sprinkled with a Mechatas, Vinitza, Zal Piv, and the sprinkling goes on his mouth, and now the halacha is that when you're sprinkled with a mechatas, the mechatas has to hit an exposed part of your body. So if you're getting sprinkled with a mechatas and the mechatas hits you in the mouth, Rebbe Yomer Hiza, Rebbe says it's valid, v'chachamim omrim lo hiza, and the chachamim say it's invalid. So, and again, remember that the sprinkling of the mechatas has to hit on an exposed portion of the body. So my love alashono, so it doesn't mean that it hits the tongue, meaning if Rebbe holds that the azah is going to be kosher, he holds that the tongue is exposed. If the tongue is exposed, it should be one of the rashi evarim for which the eved goes free. So the Gemara, lo, alsfasav, it's talking about where it hits his lips. Alsfasav, pshitav, of course it's pashut if it hits his lips are exposed, you see everybody's lips. So ma'adatema zimna d'cholim sfasay, I might think that if you purse your lips very tightly, then it's almost as if you can make your lips disappear. Kamash malan, know that they're exposed. Vatanya alashono, what are you talking about that we might be talking about the lips? We say explicitly in this Mishnah that you sprinkle it alashono. Oh, Tanya, v'shenital rov alashon. Also, we're talking about lagabe yabalmum, where most of the tongue is removed. So we know that we're talking about a tongue. Rebbe Yomer, Rova Medaber Shabloshono. Rebbe says, no, it's only a mum if most of the part of the tongue that's used for speech is removed. Rashi says this is the part of the tongue, like the tip of the tongue, basically, the front part of the tongue, not the part that's attached to the back of your mouth. Why are we talking about Rosh Medaber? Rashi says, even though obviously an animal doesn't speak, because that part of the tongue is used for speech in a human, when we reference that part of the tongue in an animal, we refer to it as Rosh HaMedaber, but we're not talking about talking cows over here. So says the Gemara, so it's obvious that based on Rebbe Shittas and based on these Mishnayos that we're quoting, Rebbe should hold that if you damage the tip of a tongue, it should obviously be the type of damage that allows the Eved to go free. So Ella, Rebbe Omer Siras V'lomi Boy Lashon. Rebbe says it is true that the Eved goes free if you're Misares him, if you damage him in the Beitzim, and certainly if you damage him in his tongue, if you injure him in his tongue. Benazai Omer Lashon Aval Siras Lo. Benazai says that he goes free only if you damage his tongue, but Benazai disputes that he goes free if he damages the testicles, because he holds that the testicles are not a makom gully, they're not revealed. So my af, what does it mean that Benazai says af aloshon? Because the way that this Mishnah was structured, we list the chavdal of Rosh Yevarim, Rebbe says also siris, Benazai says af aloshon, even the tongue, which is mashma, that Benazai is saying, no, in addition to Sirus, he also goes free if you damage his tongue. No, akamaisa, he's talking about akamaisa. In other words, the afalosha means in addition to the chavdal of Rashi Yevarim, he also goes free if you damage his tongue. So yochi niktama de Benazai bereisha. In that case, we should put the shita Benazai first. In other words, first list the chavdalid, then say Benazai says that he goes free even for the tongue, and then Rebbe comes and adds even Sirus of the Beitzim in addition to the tongue. So says the Gemara, Tana Shama de Rebbe v'kava v'shama lebenazai v'tani u'mishna lozazum emkoma. You're right. Logically, that should have been the progression of the Mishnah. However, the Tana first heard the Shita of Rebbe, so he baked it into the Mishnah, and then after that, he heard the Shita of Benazai, so he baked that into the Mishnah, and he never reorganized the Shita, the order of the Shitos brought down in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Hakol Modim Belashon Le'inyan Tuma de Galuyu. Eitzel Sharetz. Everybody holds that the tongue is considered to be Tumah D'Goli L'Gabe Yesheretz, that it could become Tameh. My Taima, what's the reason? Asher Yigabo, because it says the criteria for becoming Tameh with Tumah Sharetz is it should be a place of the body that you touch. V'haynami Barnegiyahu, and you also touch your tongue because it protrudes from your mouth. So Linyan Tvila Ketamandami. That Linyan Tvila, it is like it's concealed, meaning that if you go into the mikvah, you don't need the water to touch your tongue. My time of rachatz bisaro b'mayim amar Rachman amar bisaro me'avroi af kol me'avroi. The water only has to hit the external part of your body, not that which is internal. Lo nechliku elahaza. It turns out that they argue that the tongue could definitely become tummy. When you're being mitar yourself, you don't have to have the mikvah water touch your tongue. They're only arguing about when you sprinkle the mechatas, which has to hit an exposed part of the body, is the tongue considered to be exposed or not? Rebbe medami le'tuma. Rebbe says yes, just like it become tummy with tuma sheretz, it's good hazah if the hazah hits the tongue. Rabbanan medami le'tvila. And the Rabbanan say no, just like by tefila is considered to be an internal part of your body, so too, For the mechatas, it's considered to be internal and not external. They're both arguing in the drasha of the following pasuk. V'hiza atar ala tamei. It says v'hiza atar ala tamei. Rebbe savar v'hiza atar ala tamei b'yom ashlishi b'yom ashvi v'chit'o. That we're talking about. We're making comparison between the hazah and the tuma. Rabbanan savri v'chit'o b'yom ashvi v'chibes pagad avarachas b'mayim. And the Rabbanan say that no, the smichas and the pasuk is between hazah and the tefillah process and the tara process. And just like by tefillah, the water doesn't have to touch the tongue, so too the if the mechatas touches the tongue, it's not a valid sprinkling. Rabbanan nami nidmai l'tuma. So the Rabbanan, they should compare it to tuma, and everybody agrees that the tongue can become tummy with tuma sheretz. Tara mitara havile lemelaf. No, because it's more mistaber to learn tara, the hazah mechatas, through tefillah b'mikvah, since they're both part of the tara process. V'rebi nidmai l'tefillah. Rebbe, why doesn't he compare it to tefillah? That just like by tefillah it's considered internal, so too by hazah should be considered internal. V'chibes begodav hifzik inyan, because the way he darshan the pasuk is he says it's more mistaber to darshan that the halacha by mechatas is the halacha by tuma more so than that it's the halacha by tahara. V'savar Rebbe linyan tefillah katamadami. Does Rebbe hold that linyan tefillah the tongue is considered to be inside? V'amar Ravin, amar Rav Ada, amar Rav Yitzchak, ma'isa b'shivcha shel beis Rebbe, who was a ma'isa in the shivcha shel beis Rebbe, shetavla v'yolso v'nimtza esam meishinah. She went to the mikvah, and when she came out of the mikvah, they found a bone between her teeth. V'tzricha Rebbe tefillah cheres, and Rebbe required her to go to the mikvah again. So I thought the mortar doesn't have to reach the inside. Says the Gemara, famous concept, nehid b'yas mayim lo be'inan, makom aroy lavo bo mayim be'inan. Even though the water doesn't necessarily have to go into the mouth, it has to be roy l'bias mayim, meaning there can't be a chatzitza. Over here, because there was a chatzitza with the bone in her teeth, the tefillah was invalid. Kid the Rav Zera, and this is like the very famous principle of Rav Zera. The Amar Rav Zera, kol roy l'bila in bila makeves. But we're talking now by a korban mincha. By a korban mincha, there's a certain amount of flour, 60 isorin of flour, mixed with one lug of oil. And you don't necessarily have to mix the flour and the oil, but the ratio of flour to oil, or of oil to flour, has to be one such that if you wanted to mix it, it would all mix properly. So the sheet of Rav Zera is called a roi labila ein bila makeves bo. If you have the right ratio, you don't actually have to mix it. V'she'ein roi labila bila makeves bo. However, if you have the wrong ratio, in other words, Rashi says if you have 61 isaron of flour, then it's not going to be good. Why? I thought you don't have to mix it. You don't have to mix it, but it has to be roi to be mixed. So there's a, so we should look at, let's look at the Tosfos over here. Kolaroi Labila, that Tosfa says that the Iker Shita Rav Zera is in Maseches Menachas. He's talking about that the ratio is 60 to 1, and if you bring a mincha with 61 isorin of flour, then it's not going to be good. Then it's not going to be good because it has to be at least roi Labila. That and Tosfos is bothered over here. So he says that that certainly bila is going to be required lechatchila. So why would you ever be able to bring a mincha of 61 isaron were it not for the fact that kol roi lebila ein bila makeves bo? You should still want to do the lechatchila. Says Tosfos, obviously we're talking about a guy who wants to do the lechatchila because we're talking about a guy who's bringing such a big carbon mincha. So since he's bringing such a big carbon mincha, we're going to give him a pass maybe on not having a lechatchila dika bila because he's giving such a big carbon. Tosfos at the end of this Tosfos is bothered. There's a principle of shina lava kosav la'akev that the Torah many times teaches me the halacha of bila. So if the Torah goes through many times teaching me the halacha bila, doesn't that mean that bila is ma'akev? So it should actually be not kol roi lebila ein bila makeves, but bila should actually be ma'akev. Tosfos winds up answering that yes, the pasuk mentions the concept of bila many times, but it doesn't mention it in the lashon of tzivoy. When do we say that shina lava kasav la'akev? That's only when the Torah mentions it multiple times, b'lashon sivui. However, over here, it's not b'lashon sivui, therefore it's not going to be ma'akev. Let's finish up, turning to Chaf Hayamad Beis. Kitanoi, this whole machlokes about whether an injury to the beitzim is gonna free the yevet is like machlokas tanom umoch v'katzus v'notak v'karus. If somebody is squashed or crushed or torn or severed, kulam b'beitzim, all in the testicles of either one of these injuries, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's considered to be divrei Rabbi Yehuda, kulam b'beitzim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, b'beitzim v'lo b'gid, says the Gemara, that really this type of injury is an injury only by the beitzim, but not if it's actually in the male organ. Ela kulam af b'beitzim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. No. What Rabbi Yehuda means is that certainly if the male organ is injured in this respect, if the male organ is crushed or torn or severed, that's certainly going to be a mum. However, the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is that even if any of these things happen to the testicles, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov amar kulam begid. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says no, that they all apply only to the male organ. Rabbi Yossi amar moch v'katzos af b'beitzim. Squashed or crushed is a mum even by beitzim. Notuk v'karus begid im b'beitzim lo. Torn or severed is a mum only by the male organ, but not by beitzim. Okay, enough of that uncomfortable conversation. Let us go to the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah as follows. Behema gasa niknes b'mesira. Again, now talking more generally about kinyanim. So behema gasa, a large behema, niknes b'mesira, can be nikne through the process of handing over. Now, just to back up, like zoom out, big picture, a behema cannot be nikne with kesef alone. You require another kinyan with the guf of the animal. The Gemara is gonna be medayin whether this din is shayach by metaltalin, whether mos are konos midaraisa or they're not kone midaraisa, but certainly avadim we saw can be nikna with kesef. Avadim are not metaltalin, avadim are like karka. This whole concept of a behema that it cannot be nikna with kesef, that you need another type of kinyan, is because behema is not karka. Karka could be acquired through kesef, but not metaltalin. In addition to the kinyanim that are mentioned here, we should note that there were other kinyanim that work by behema, like a kinyan chatzer or a kinyan chalipin. But the Miri explains that we're talking about kinyanim which are done only with the guf of the behema. So what's mesira? Mesira is handing over, where the owner hands the behema over to another person. It's the mesira miyad liyad. That's the way Rashi explains. Tosfa says that you don't need necessarily a mesira miyad liyad. If the master says lech chazek v'kni, that is also going to be okay. But mesira is a concept of handing over. So envision that the owner guides the cow by the, or guides the horse by the saddle, or guides the cow by its neck and hands it over to the buyer. So v'hadaka b'agba, and a behema daka, a smaller animal, is going to be nikne through Hagba, by lifting it up. And now, why don't we say that a behema gasa is nicknamed through lifting it up? Because the behema gasa is a huge animal. You don't lift it up. A behema daka is a smaller animal, so you lift it up. There is a machlokes by Hagba, whether it has to be Hagba of Shalosh Tfachim or Hagba or Hagba only of one Tefach. And we're going to see that at the conclusion of the shiur a little bit more. Rashi explains that the Mishnah says that the behema gasa is nikna b'mesira, and that comes to exclude meshicha. And we're going to see in a second, there's a machlokas actually, which is the better type of kinyan, whether it's mesira or meshicha. But again, back in the Mishnah, behema gasa niknes b'mesira, big animal acquired by handing over, daka bagba, small animal by lifting up, divrei Rebbe, Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Lezer, the Chachamim Omer, and Behema Dakta Nikna B'Meshicha. And Rabbi and the Chachamim say that Behema Dakta is Nikna is B'Meshicha by drawing near. What's by drawing near? Meshicha is just by dragging the animal, or by Kore La Behiba. Unlike handing it over, the owner is not involved, it's just the buyer is either grabbing the animal or the buyer is calling the animal to come over to it. Okay, so according to the Shita of Rashi, the Chachamim hold that the Behema is definitely Niknes b'Mesira, even though the Chachamim say that the Behema Dakta is Niknes b'Meshicha. That's a Chiddush, because Rashi holds that Mesira is always a stronger Kinyan than Meshicha. However, the Ri holds that Meshicha is a stronger Kinyan than Mesira, and therefore, when the Tanakhama of the Mishnah said that the Behema Gasa is Niknes b'Mesira, certainly it's Niknes b'Meshicha. And at the end of the Mishnah, when the Chachamim say that it's Niknes b'Meshicha, it's Dafka by Meshicha, not by Mesira, according to the Ri. But again, according to Rashi, Mesira is the stronger Kenyan. According to the Ri, Meshicha is the stronger Kenyan. So a fundamental machloka is Rashi and the Ri, which is the stronger Kenyan over here. Says the Gemara, Darash Rav b'Kim Chunya. So Rav Darshan im Kim Chunya. Behema Gasa Niknes b'Meshicha. Behema Gasa is Niknes b'Meshicha. Our Mishnah had said that a Behema Gasa is Niknes b'Mesira, not b'Meshicha. So Hashkechinu Shmuel Talmidei the Rav. So Shmuel found the Talmidim of Rav. Amar Lehu, mi Amar Rav Behema Gasa Niknes b'Meshicha, v'anam b'Mesira Tanan. Did he say that a Behema Gasa is Niknes b'Meshicha? Our Mishnah says that a Behema Gasa is Niknes b'Mesira, by handing over, not by Meshicha, not by pulling it. So Rav Nami b'Mesira, Rav Nami b'Mesira. So Rav Nami b'Mesira Amar. Rav also had this gear, so the Behema Gasa is Niknes b'Mesira. Hadar b'Meyahi, did he retract from that comment? So who the Amar ki Aitana the Tani v'Chachamim Amrim zu v'zu Niknes b'Meshicha? Yeah, Rav in fact retracted, because in the end he holds like the Chachamim who say that both of Behema Daka and of Behema Gasa are Niknes b'Meshicha by pulling it toward you, not through Mesira, not by handing over. Rabbi Shimon Omer zu v'zu b'Agbah. Rabbi Shimon said that both of them are required through Agbah, because Agbah is the best Kenyan. Why is Agbah the best? Can you already saw a couple of days ago? Because Agbah is kona b'chol makam. Even if you're in the Roshos Mocher, if you lift up the animal, it's going to be a valid kinyan. Maskef l'Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, elamayata pil Rav Shimon b'ma yikne. How are you going to be able to acquire an elephant, says the Gemara? Because Rav Shimon says that the only way you acquire the animal is by lifting it up, but the elephant is so huge, you can't lift it up. Says the Gemara, amar abaye b'chalipin. Well, it's like we said when we learned the Mishnah, that there are other kinyanim that you can make. The Mishnah was only talking explicitly about the kinyanim that are beguf habehema, but you can also acquire the elephant through chalipin. In other words, you exchange some other item, like a sudor or a pen or something, for the elephant. You don't necessarily have to lift it up. Inami besocheres makomo. Or you can rent the space that the elephant is standing on, meaning you could rent the space, and therefore it becomes the reshus of the lokeach and not the reshus of the mocher. And lechora, this is working midin kinyan midin kinyan chatzer, that you're renting space. There is a kasha whether you could actually perform a kinyan chatzer with rented space. That's a machloka sachronim. Okay, but that's one of the other suggestions. Rav Zeir Amar, maybe Abra Kalim Manicham Tachas Raglov. No. You don't have to be talking about the case where you're making a kinyan that's not related to the Gufa Behema. We could be talking about a case where you're not physically lifting the elephant up. Nobody's that strong, but you're bringing Kalim, you're placing it near the feet of the elephant, and the elephant is walking up on top of the Kalim. And those kelim are going to be three tzvachim large. Manicham tachas raglav sham yuna kelim shalokeach b'shus mocher kana lokeach. So we see that even though the elephant is standing in the yard of the mocher, if the elephant is standing on the kelim belonging to the lokeach, those kelim have the ability to be kone the elephant even in the reshus of the mocher. Hachav mayaskinan. But says the Gemara, no, we don't dafka have to be bringing a raya from here that Caleb shalokeach pershus mocher or kone, because we could be talking about pesimta. We're talking about like a little recessed area outside of a reshus harabim. In other words, it's not the reshus hamocher. That's why the kalim of the lokeach are kone. Inami bechaviles moros, or we're not talking about kalim that you bring and place under the feet of the elephant. We're talking about bundles of reeds that you place under the feet of the elephant. So what's this bundles of reeds? What's going on here? So Tosfos of your famous Tosfos. So first he says the Shita of Rashi, Perish Bekuntras Mishkachas al Agbos Pil Bachaviles Moros Agvom in Arat Shlosha Maleo Lam Agvos Gimel Agbohi. Because according to this Mandi Amar, you require Agvov Gimel Tfachim, and most Kalim, we're going to read it out, so we're not going to read it inside, I'll say it outside, most Kalim are not Gimel Tfachim. So how do you find the chavilis? How do you find a kli that's three tefachim high that you could put the elephant on? So you use a bundle of reeds. Sosva says, no, maybe that maybe it's this is going according to the Mademar, it says that you need only a tefach, but not chavi, but not three tefachim, and the chavilez moros fit the bill, that it's a tefach high, and therefore the elephant can go on the chavilez moros. Tosva then says, why are we talking about bundles of reeds? Why don't we talk about you bring little stones and have the elephant stand on rocks? Why are we talking about bringing bundles of reeds? And here's the famous shita in Tosfos that Tosfos answers, because Rav Meshulam and Tosfos says that no, chavilez moros are meichel pil, they're elephant feed, they're food that the elephant eats. So when we talk about chavilez moros, we don't mean that you're putting the chavilez moros under the feet of the elephant and the elephant standing on them. We mean that you wave the chavilez moros in front of the elephant and the elephant sees the chavilez moros and rears back on its hind legs, and through that the elephant picks up itself. So you're not picking up the elephant, you're not lifting the elephant on top of anything, you're inducing the elephant to raise up, and through that maisa, you are kona the elephant, according to Rav Meshulam. I will leave off here. My Reinu's back for a little visit tomorrow and Shabbos, and then I'm back on Sunday and Monday. So we will have the opportunity to learn together in the very near future. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.